to the podcast, where we talk about all the things that are hidden in the shadows. This is Isaac.
This is Megan.
And on this episode, we said it'd be out a week ago. Hey, here it is. Yeah, you keep jinxing us.
Yeah, you know what? At this rate,
you get it when you get it.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna change our thing from weekly uploads of episodes to you get it when you get it. Yeah.
No, because I know we try to be weekly, but it's like the second we say, "Oh, we release next week," we get bombarded with cases. So, and we can't find a day. I either get out too late from work, and then I would just say like next episode. I know, 'cause we said like 100 times already. Hey, sorry for the late episode, but like at this point, it's like, well, we keep saying late, but we should never promise a certain date because then something happens.
Well, I think it's easier to get on like not topic, but on a consistent routine, like during the winter time. Like during the spring and summer, you got your work going full force, and then,
well, Belief Hole releases episode like once every 3 months, and never catch any slack for it.
They've been doing it recently, more active, aren't they?
Yeah.
Kinda. I think to be honest with you, I think they've adapted our schedule. You get it when you get it.
They ain't got nothing else going on.
You don't know that. Maybe they got stuff on the side.
No, they ain't got nothing going on. Their production values, though, I think that's what takes the most time.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we put that much in effort, it'd be like every 6 months, here we go, here's an episode for you.
Yeah, if I put as much effort into this as I did that one video, that one, what is it, minute and a half seance video that I have on the Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, in our time away, I recorded two bonus episodes.
Two.
Yeah, because you got the Shaws coming up soon.
Yeah, which is this week, this Thursday. Yeah.
Stephen and Leslie Shaw, authors of the UFO book, Who Are They and What Are They Up To? Or where?
No, you're right. That one's a lengthy one, so get ready for that one.
Yes, they were an easy interview because all I had to do was just, you know, say a few words and they talked. Yeah. So, but that was an interesting one about aliens and stuff like that. And they seem to be focused on one particular brand of aliens. Granted, they talk about other kind, but really focus on like
brand. This isn't Debbie Cakes over here.
Species. One species of aliens.
Oh my gosh. The way I delivered that too, that was so corny. I'm so sorry for the listeners.
And then we have an investigation team that I interviewed, and then also a testimonial from
one. So you're right. Three. Whoops. Yeah.
And one of our 36 home cases we have done.
36. You think we're going to hit 100 by the end of the year?
100, I don't know, 100, maybe 50.
50, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More people hear our story, the more people need help, more situations happen, so.
Yeah, because recently I know that a good chunk of some of the people that needed like mine force clearings and house clearings and stuff have been because you went on other podcasts.
Yes.
So.
And I'm not done yet. My mission, as I always choose to accept it, is now to, like I said, my resolution this year is try to get on every single paranormal podcast out there. At least any of the big names and some of the smaller names, just everywhere.
Yeah. Didn't you say, too, like you wanted to go on one from every state?
Yeah, but I'm kind of finding out that a lot of paranormal podcasts are kind of isolated to certain states.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Ohio has like 5 or 6.
I think, no, North Carolina has a few.
Who besides us?
No, there's
Arcane Carolina.
Yeah, and then
we have
there's
the stickers on the table.
I know, and then there's a conspiracy and like Bigfoot, like cryptid ones. Golly, Bizarre Encounters, I think it's called. Mm. Where one of the guys is actually from here, but he lives in Raleigh.
Yeah.
You see them like our stuff all the time. It's like Framework UFO or something like that. I see it. Anyways, I'm the social media kind of person behind our stuff, so I see that stuff.
Like I said, also, shout out to Brazil. No, Belize. I thought Brazil in my head, and then I said Belize, and I combined
it. First of all,
Brazil.
But first of all, that's not. Add that to the list of things.
I combined it two countries together no, in my head.
Belize.
I know.
Oh, okay. Did you say Belize?
No, I said... sorry. God damn it. I was thinking Brazil, and then I thought, wait, no, Belize. But I combined them together and got Brazil, like Brazili or something. I don't know, whatever. No, Belize. Shout out to Belize for...
What did you call it?
It doesn't matter now. Let's move on.
Belize.
Yeah.
Pronounce the country. It's Belize.
I have a friend from there.
Oh, you do?
Sorry. I had a friend from there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my
now
friend.
Now I can think about it. Yeah.
My friend Jorma was from Belize. I didn't even know Belize existed until I talked to him. Right? Can you tell me what country he's from? Because he had an odd accent. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like slightly Spanish mixed with like a Jamaican. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about Belize and the country he's from and stuff like that. And I met his mom.
Hmm.
But I think he's buried there now, back there in Belize. So if I had any reason to go there besides, you know, visiting there, was to visit his grave.
Aw.
Yeah. So yeah, I know Belize very well. But that's cool that we're charting up there. What was the news you told me?
Oh, we actually charted in Society and Culture. We are number 15. And then overall, like, podcasts from all over in Belize were, like, in the top 100.
Weird.
We chart in random countries. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, countries you wouldn't really think. Like, we tend to chart a lot in India. We chart a lot in China. Like, Hong Kong, for some reason. And then some Norwegian country. Too. It's weird. It's like random. But then most of our listeners are from the United States, so I don't know why we specifically chart over there.
I must not listen to a lot of podcasts. Anyway, but I guess moving on to today's subject, something you chose.
Yes. So the reason why I even went into this subject of conversation is because we were doing a lot of work in content collab, I guess you could say, with Total Conundrum, which if you have not checked out Total Conundrum, do it because they are awesome. And I like how they do their episodes. Tracy and Jeremy are very, very thorough in research and the stories and all of that stuff. But they do like a mixture. They do a little bit of true crime stuff as well. But we were on there. We went on theirs and they came on ours. So make sure to check out that episode too. But they had, you know, we were talking mainly about our abilities on their episodes. And they had talked about that they had an investigation coming up at a location called the Roth House. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. Go check out their episodes and stuff about the Roth House because there's a lot of backstory. But long story short, there were seances that took place in the house. And one of the requests from them that they had us do is Isaac pulled on live for them while they were at the location. And then for me, I remote viewed and told them what I saw. And it made me wonder because, like, in what I saw, I kept seeing the first thing I saw when I remote viewed was a, like, round brown seance table with a doll on top, right? Before I actually started seeing a spirit and stuff come through. And I was curious, made me wonder, like, were dolls used? Because I know there was different tools and seances and stuff like that. But I found out that apparently some mediums would use dolls as, like, a tool or a communication thing. And there were some people that went through seances and said that certain dolls, like, after they used it during the seance, became haunted. So I was like, And then I started going down this rabbit hole of things on seances and everything like that. So that is why we're doing this episode.
The seances were big, what, from late 1800s to about 1920-ish, 1930s?
Basically during the time where spiritualism was, like, taken off.
Yeah, it didn't last long, but I feel like it's on its way back.
Oh, yeah. I feel like throughout time we kind of go through little peaks of it. And obviously with TikTok being as big as it is and everybody's able to share more information, a lot of talk about different spiritualism stuff, you know, like obviously tarot readers and mediums and stuff like that. It's a big showcasing of that. So it's got more people questioning. So,
but like that time and like now, you have people who are legit and you have a bunch of charlatans.
Yes, that is the thing. So I want to talk really quick about seances in general and what kind of seances. Essentially, it is the communication with the dead. And the difference between, like, say, a Ouija board session, even though Ouija boards were used sometimes during seances, versus an actual seance, is a seance would actually use a medium as, like, the middleman between the two worlds. And so during the Victorian era, there would be, like, you know, like how when you have parties and stuff like that, you have entertainment, like, I don't know, horses or... Like,
horses.
Like ponies. Like you get a pony at your party.
Clowns.
Clowns. There you go.
Yeah, weirdo. Magicians.
Magicians, like stuff like that. People would actually have parties and do seances. Could you imagine that? Like going to a party, like, oh, it's your holiday work party, and then they just bust out a seance table and stuff.
Yeah, that, I guess it was popular for the time, but now I feel like a lot of people would be freaked out and kind of leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because remember.
Yeah.
The film age at the time was mostly silent films. Horror films didn't exist. So people weren't built with the fear of supernatural. Now we have over millions of horror films and even more surrounding the paranormal specifically. And a lot of people have gained fear from that. So the idea of them being part of a seance probably scares the shit out of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, what was that movie that came out, Talk to Me?
Oh yeah, I watched it. That was pretty good. But essentially, that's what they're doing. It's kind of a seance thing. They lit a candle, which we're generally going to talk about.
Yeah.
And they had a embalmed hand of a medium psychic that was covered in plaster. And when you held the hand and said, talk to me, you would see a spirit in front of you. And you could talk to the spirit. But what really got them high, essentially, because they used like a drug, is when they said, I allow you in. And essentially, the spirit would possess the person holding the hand.
Ooh, that's a no-go for me.
Yeah. And they saw that as a form of getting high. Instead of actually doing drugs, they'd be
man,
possessed.
Like, what? Who does that? Like,
stupid teenagers, they don't know what the hell's going on.
I guess. You know, I say that, but I probably would have done something like that as a teenager kid.
But if you watch the film, you find out eventually it goes wrong for them, which is essentially the same thing as playing with the Ouija board. You might get nice spirits, might get, you know, regular human spirits until that dark entity starts creeping around, seeing what you're playing with and thinks, ooh, these are good for prey.
Well, see, that's the difference between kind of a Ouija board and a seance. Is a seance is more like formulated, like you're in a circle, you have protection around you, there's candles, there's almost like there's like a manual to do a seance. With a Ouija board, it's kind of like anybody can do it, let's go. And one of the things that I did in preparation for this episode was I specifically asked, you know, I went into meditation and I asked, well, what is a seance? Like, what is a seance to spirits? What does that mean? Like, what do they see it as? And the best way I could describe it is how they described it to me was it's almost like in a seance, you're calling the other side. Like, you're talking on the phone to the other side. And the medium essentially has the phone number. So they have a direct point that they're going to. So, like, say if you're in a seance and Betty Sue wants to talk to her kid that died. Well, that medium, depending if she's legit or not, or he is legit or not, they have the phone number to connect. But if you're doing a Ouija board, you're kind of just, like, opening up the connection. Like, you're just randomly calling a random number. And you might get somebody that's, like, legit. You might get somebody that you might get somebody that's your family member. Or you might get somebody that is really, really negative and dark and obviously demonic. So it's kind of like you're playing with that. So seances were more, I guess you could say, controlled versus a Ouija board. But there's specific things that apparently would happen during seances. And they're kind of interesting because I feel like they're coming up more so now. Especially the thing called rapping, I think is what it's called. But this is things that apparently could happen during a seance. So obviously spirit apparitions would pop up. So participants would witness the formation of spirits, some full bodies, some partial. Some people would even see arms or hands appear. creepy. Rapping. So rapping is spirits' communication through banging sounds on walls, tables, or floors, often in response to questions. And I believe, I'm not 100%, but isn't that similar to that one paranormal couple? I don't even know their names because I didn't look too much into it, but they were on like Sam and Colby's episode where like they were communicating, they were holding hands. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, the guy was like popping his toes or something in his shoes.
Yeah, and see, that was the biggest debunking of rapping was that. So obviously cold sensations, you know, participants would feel a chilling breeze or touch. And then there was table tipping. So sometimes the tables moved without apparent cause. And a lot of that was, they attributed that to spirit influence. Materializations, objects seemingly out of thin air, like appearing out of thin air, hands or figures. Physical contact, participants would feel unseen touches, pushes, or hair strokes. And then some people even said that they saw floating lights or orbs, sometimes referred to as fairy lights.
Now, the rapping and tapping and stuff like that, this is where charlatans could have easily, you know, fooled people by having other people that who were not in the room, outside the room on the other side of the walls or... And back then, a lot of those houses were built with like big giant crawl spaces. So you literally can run in the crawl space. I could run in the crawl space. And I'm not a tiny person.
Yeah.
So if you could fit a couple of people in there to tap on the wall to listen. And spirits, give me a sign. You know, knock, knock, knock. Everyone's in the room, right? It was easy to fool people.
And that's the thing with seances in general. Because seances, like you had people that... legitimately thought that they were communicating with the other side. And then you had also people that were really, really against it. Like there's natural causes. One in particular guy was somebody that probably a lot of people know is Harry Houdini.
Yeah.
Right? That's his name, Harry, right?
Yes.
I don't know why. I was debating between Harry and Henry, and I was like, Harry feels right. I don't know why I wanted to say Henry Houdini.
No, it was not a major part of his life, but it was the smallest part of his life because him being a master illusionist and a master magician, he understood sleight of hand. He knew how to con people into believing things that he did, and he used that in a sense of magician work and stuff like that. He understood that. So when he heard seances becoming popular, a good party trick, and noticing that a lot of mediums out there in the world were in high demand. If you said you're a medium, right, you'd have people pay out the wazoo to get you to come to the party to do a seance and portray yourself as a medium, even if they couldn't find a real one. Sometimes a fake one would be put in place just to entertain their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Houdini, of course, he didn't like the fact that these people were being suckered out of money, right? He hated the idea of charlatans and stuff like that. So also the fact that he really didn't believe in it at all. He didn't believe in the spiritual realm and any of that stuff. So he thought they were all faking it.
Well, put it to you this way. So him and his wife, he would go to these seances and specifically, there was only a small handful of people that he could not prove. But it definitely outweighed the people that he proved were faking it.
Yeah.
But while he was alive, him and his wife actually created this book or catalog of a specific code that they would do to communicate if one died on the other side. And apparently after Houdini died, the wife continued to do seances and stuff like that, and nothing ever came through. But for a good portion, he was trying to take these people down, like really exposed charlatans and stuff like that. But like I said, another controversial or thing that gets talked about, and I know you're like, oh, that stuff, there's no way that can exist, is ectoplasm.
Well, the reason I didn't even think about this until we started talking about the seances stuff. And I was like, wait a goddamn second. Why haven't we seen ectoplasm ever? And mm-hmm. any remote, you of all people should have had, you know, goo going out of your ears at this point. But no one, and we have cameras, we have footage, we have we have all forms of cameras right now to capture anything and anything in any situation, and yet no camera has caught it at all, especially at the height now. of mediumship, of spiritualism, all that. Nothing has been caught of resembling ectoplasm. So that tells me right then, are you telling me ectoplasm only existed in that period of time?
No. Well, like, and that's the thing is, like, I know channeling energy and stuff like that. I know for a fact, like, when I go too far, like, channeling things, like, there was one night in particular where I was, like, channeling back and forth. Like, it was to a point where I started getting nauseous, throwing up and stuff like that, like, having a reaction to channeling and stuff, I've seen. But, like, actually how ectoplasm is portrayed, no.
It was like foam coming out of the mouth.
Yeah, and so apparently, so one in particular, she was a French medium, and she conducted seances in the early 20th century. Her name is Ava Carrier. I don't know if that's how...
Carrier.
I think so. But she supposedly produced ectoplasm and materialized spirits' faces during her sessions. Her photographs from the seances were later found to contain cutout images from magazines. So she forged the photos too. But apparently she was found fraudulent of doing the ectoplasm things. And one of the ways that I guess they did that was using lamb's intestines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Ugh. And the goo just, ugh. I guess, like, if you're getting paid, some people go above and beyond for money. So, like I was talking about earlier, rapping. So the taps and the music.
Well, the way I've seen this in movies and depicted, right? And even shows and stuff like that. The way that they, I guess, try to debunk anything from tapping or rapping is everyone would hold hands. So if everyone's holding hands, no one has a chance to tap underneath the table or tap the table or even move it.
Do it with their toes.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you gotta be skilled to do that, but still. So apparently, way back yonder, there was three sisters called the Fox sisters. So there was Leah, Margarita, which she went by Maggie, and Catherine, which she went by Kate. They were siblings from Rochester, New York, and they played a pivotal role in the creation of spiritualism in general. And they were specifically known for their seances where mysterious rappings occurred, and they basically convinced others that they were communicating with spirits. In 1848, Kate and Maggie claimed to experience strange rappings in their Hydesville, New York home. These sounds were believed to be communications from spirits. Their older sister, Leah, managed their careers, and that she basically helped them gain fame as mediums. However, in 1888, Margarita confessed that the rappings were a hoax. She publicly demonstrated how they produced the sounds. You know, despite that being a setback, because they did spread a lot of information about spiritualism and really tried to promote it and gain recognition for it. Even though they were known as, like, hoax and frauds and stuff like that, it still continued to grow. But yeah, so they were one of the ones that were fraudulent. So going back to Houdini, this was kind of his involvement with seances in general, because I think it's so interesting, because I feel like a lot of, you have to have a balance between saying something is paranormal and saying something is not. Like, I know I've gone on investigations with people that are totally like, there's no such thing. And it's almost like they themselves put a block on themselves from even trying to connect. They say they don't, but it's essentially there, because I mean, I felt it when we went with other people. So I don't know about Houdini. So let me just talk about him. So early in his career, Houdini performed seances with his wife Bess as a part of their act, which informed his later skepticism. So the fact that, like, he incorporated in his act and was able to replicate a lot of the things that people said that they were feeling and seeing, he was like, there's something, like, these people are saying this are happening, but I know the fact that it's not.
Yeah.
And yeah, some of it may have, like, majority of it may have been fake, but there could have been stuff that actually occurred. So that's when he went on his, in beginning in the 1920s, Houdini embarked on a mission to expose fraudulent spiritualists. Like I said earlier, he attended seances in disguise and revealed how mediums use tricks to deceive their audience. So he would go for the show, essentially let the medium do her thing, and then afterwards be like, go up to the audience members and be like, hey, so this is what she did. Mm-hmm. And it would really, I could just imagine kind of with the audience, like how confused, they probably would have been. And then Houdini campaigned publicly against fraudulent psychics and mediums. And he even testified before Congress in support of legislation that would criminalize fortune telling for hire. So he was really like, no, these people are not getting away with this. This is ridiculous. So I think we should do a Houdini episode.
Yeah, he doesn't really do spiritualism stuff, but corporate stuff. But good thing that didn't get passed. But then again, we don't charge people for our services. So
yeah,
technically we would have been fine.
Yeah.
But that also might have deterred charlatans. Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a good and bad thing. And I find with a lot of the paranormal community, it's good and bad. Like, there's pros and cons to everything. But like I said earlier, he created something called the Houdini Code. So before his death, Houdini and his wife agreed on a secret code that he would use to communicate with her if he were to reach out from beyond. This is basically a test to prove the vitality of spiritualist claims. So if anybody tried to say like he was reaching out or tell his wife like he was reaching out, she would only know the code, and he apparently, which makes me think, okay, if you're on the other side, right, and say you created a code with your wife in this lifetime, but you're crossed to the other side where you really are kind of maybe dazed and confused, right? Like, you really don't know what's going on. Would you remember that code? Or would it be hazy?
I know. Well, no, we would, but
I don't know.
Or would it matter? We have our own theories on what happens to people after we die. If we go by that aspect, I guess it wouldn't matter unless he moved on already to this next life. If he's still lingering around, right? Which I don't think he'd be lingering
around. No, I'm not channeling Houdini. Because I feel like I would get in an argument with that dude.
Well, you're proving him right because he's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you're wrong, dude. I was like, what? What do you mean? You're dead. You're a ghost.
Yeah. So, like I said, Harry Houdini investigated numerous cases of spiritualism, spiritualist mediums, what? And seances. What?
I just had a weird thought.
What?
What if, I've heard of it being possible, but uh-huh. That'd be freaking weird if you were able to like send your consciousness back in time as a spirit and mess with Houdini as he's trying to disprove actual medium.
That would be... I traveled back in time to mess with Houdini. Yeah. No. So there's a couple people that he kind of went after. So the Witch of Limestone was one. So Houdini's investigation of Mina Credon, also known as Madry, was one of the most publicized cases. She was a Boston medium who claimed to produce physical phenomena during her seances. Houdini exposed her tricks, including the use of her feet and knees to move objects. Another one was the Davenport brothers. So the Davenport brothers were famous for their spirit cabinet act, where they would be tied up inside a cabinet and musical instruments would seemingly play by themselves. Apparently Houdini replicated their act to show that it was done without supernatural assistance. And then finally, Anna Eva Fay, which is a well-known stage mentalist and medium. Anna Eva Fay claimed to have genuine psychic powers, but Houdini challenged her claims and demonstrated her to act her to how her act could be performed through trickery.
There was a guy, I don't know if he's still around or not, but he had $1 million prize, which now is like not that great. Well, it's a lot of money, but he had $1 million prize for anyone who could prove psychic or mediumship abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the '80s. He did this stuff. And he had different people come on the show, and whoever could prove that they actually are, he'd give $1 million. He never did.
Yeah. See, and that's what I think is the problem, because anything spiritual, anything with the paranormal, it's kind of like you have to open up to the experience to a degree. Like, you know, you could have some skepticism, but when you're so hell-bent on absolutely everything being wrong, you're going to see it as that, you know? And I think a lot of those people, it's almost like a doomed cause. Like, no matter how good the psychic is, it's never going to be enough for those people. And I've witnessed those people in front of my face before, you know?
Well, that's why very skilled mentalists, right? The art of mentalism, right? The ability to read people and know everything about them by just their outward appearance, how they dress, how they carry themselves, all that stuff. I always consider myself an amateur mentalist because I'm all right, but I want to make myself good, mm-hmm. right? And most best I can get is people's music taste, right? But that's why, like, the best mentalists in the world can perceive themselves as a psychic or medium because they're able to tell things about people that most people wouldn't know because they're that good. Even the show The Mentalist, with my favorite shows.
Yeah, it's good.
He, in his early days as a carny, would essentially portray himself as a psychic just because he was so good at reading people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, in his early days and throughout his life until, I don't know if you ever watched the show, but it's the opening plot line to the first episode. His family gets killed by a murderer, a famous murderer called Red John, because I think one of the lines that, the note that Red John left the mentalist, Patrick Jane, is that if you were a real psychic, I wouldn't have to tell you what's behind the door. And it's his dead family. Basically because he insulted Red John on a live show or something. So, but yeah, that's neat. After that, he stopped being a psychic or stopped telling people he was a psychic. He was just a mentalist.
Well, see, I think that's the difference between like a psychic and someone that's a mentalist. So the mentalist has to observe your mannerisms, yeah. right? With me, I don't care to look at your mannerisms. I go off of what I feel, but you're like the feeling. I read the energy, and I think that's the difference. And how, like, you can kind of... Because, like, for instance, I don't even have to be looking at you to feel the energy. You know what I mean? I can have my back towards you, and I can feel what's going on. You know? Whereas a mentalist kind of has to watch. And that's how I can tell somebody that is just, like, watching all my movements versus... I mean, obviously, you as a psychic medium, you watch movements, you get more insight. But I go off of energy right off the bat. So that's, I don't know. Anyways, but this is where I think with the difference between Ouija boards and seances is I looked up ways that apparently you're supposed to open a seance. Like you're supposed to, like how typically seances are started, because I think that's interesting in the difference because with a Ouija board, you kind of just go in there, right? You kind of just like go in there.
Yeah.
But apparently... opening the seances, things like we gather here to invite the spirits of the past to join us in the presence, spirits of the light, specifically addressing spirits of the light, that kind of like puts a little bit of protection out there, specifically who you want to, you know, dictate to. You don't want to talk to anything bad. And the name of blank is, if the spirit of blank is present, we ask for your presence with love and light. We seek to communicate with those who have crossed over. So you're already setting the intention of communicating with light stuff, not necessarily dark. Has there been situations where dark things came across? Heck yeah. And I think especially if the medium doesn't know what the hell they're doing, of course dark things are going to come through. Like I said, it's more precise. So like by even setting the intention that you want to talk to something that's light and that's crossed over and that's on the other side, which, you know, that's like literally you have the area code and the phone number. Yeah, I know the light just flickered, which was weird.
Yeah, they're old light bulbs.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Anyways.
I don't feel anything in the room.
And then obviously there was like a general invitation where someone would say, we open our hearts and our mind to receive messages from the other side. Apparently, a lot of the mediums would establish a safe space. And this is specifically mediums that knew what they were doing. If they didn't know what they were doing, I bet it would kind of go another way. But essentially... the fact that you close the seance. So mediums would specifically close the seance, which is different from a Ouija board. Some people don't know that you have to close a Ouija board session, essentially shut the door, cut that line of communication off. Because when I was channeling, that's the thing. So I was asking, well, I was always under the impression that seancism kind of Ouija boards create a portal. And they were like, yeah, the more you use it, the longer you're on it. It's almost like you start piercing like a hole in our time frame, whatever you want to call it. How would you say that? I don't even know how to say that.
Well, in our investigations, when we go places, you do open portals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And I do close them at the end of the night.
Yeah. That makes me wonder now. If you were to do a seance, if you were to channel someone directly, by your standard of your abilities, you would do it better than anyone who's ever done it before.
Well, see, this is the thing that freaks me out about seances, okay? So one of the things, and I can definitely see how, so one of the things that sometimes would occur, and every time I think of seance, I think of that one episode for like all the like 90s kids and early 2000s are probably going to know what I'm talking about. But the scene from, because it used to freak me and my sisters out, Street Life is Zach and Cody, when the doorbell guy, I'll post this clip because it's as like cartoony of a seance as you can get, and it used to freak us out. But they go upstairs to like all of the, you know, all of the people in the show go upstairs to do like a seance, and the doorbell guy is essentially the medium, would, you know, is the one communicating, and the spirit apparently possesses the doorbell guy, and he's like, his face is like twitching. That would be the only thing that I would kind of worry about, because I do have a specific channeling where sometimes spirits will not make me do something, but you like
forget who your husband is.
Yeah, I know, channel through. So technically I could do a seance with Isaac present, and if anything tries anything, he can be like, yo.
Oh, I'll go fishing. I got one.
Gosh. But that's what they were, when I was channeling that information, it's kind of what it was making me seem. It's like the longer you do the seance, the more you stay connected, the bigger the opportunity is for something to come through. But essentially, at first, you're just dialing in. Like, hey, what's it like on the other side? You know? Which I wouldn't recommend just anybody doing it. I think there definitely should be a, I guess you could say, professional medium, depending on the medium itself.
Seasoned.
There you go. That's a good word to put. Seasoned. Somebody that is familiar with interacting with the other side, I think, is important. But like I said, they close. So this was an interesting case. This was like, oh, wow, I didn't know this. So apparently in 1941, there was a psychic. Her name was Helen Duncan. She held a seance where she revealed a soldier had been lost in the sinking of the battleship HMS Barnum, right? This information was accurate, but the sinking had not yet been made public, which led to concerns about national security during World War II. That is pretty wild. I was like, whoa.
I can't remember when. I think it was after World War II, but I think that was one of the catalysts to them using this psychic soldier program.
Yeah. So that's interesting, I thought.
Yeah, Montauk was around that time after World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So another thing I just wanted to touch on, because I think it's interesting, again, tools being used during seances. So obviously candles was used. They created a soft dim lighting that was believed to be inviting to spirits. They used spirit boards, Ouija boards. So I'm wondering how those occurred when you would use the Ouija board, you know, in a seance situation.
I had it most likely can prove incorrect, but my thought process on why candles are used versus like lights or flashlights or illuminated lights or anything like that is because a candlelight is a flame, fire, a natural element of the earth. As electricity, lights, and light bulbs are unnatural.
That's
so
true.
A spirit would see a flame of a fire candle in a spiritual realm versus, say, actual lights in someone's house.
So, just a little tidbit to freak people out. That video on seances that I just released, the people that are holding candles in the video are people that I've actually seen on the other side.
Ba, ba, ba.
So, have fun with that. Anyways.
I'm looking at ghosts!
Yeah, I wonder if anybody, because I was curious to see if anybody would say in the comments, like, oh, I get an eerie feeling about that, because that's
AI-generated ghosts, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Tarot cards were sometimes used, crystal balls, trumpets, which I thought were interesting, trumpets, conical devices that were supposed to amplify the voices of spirits, slates and pencils, because automatic writing was also a thing that was used, obviously, incense, and to put everybody in a more meditative state. And then bells, which I find interesting now that that's being used in paranormal stuff. Like instruments to go out and investigate. I don't know if you've seen them. They're like little bells that people are using. Spirit bells or something. So I think it's Ghost Shop or somebody is creating them. But it's essentially ghost bells. Like a desk.
You don't need to buy it from a ghost shop. Go to a
No, no, but it's made with some like a motion sensor thing. I don't know.
Also, I saw the like if you know those when you walk into a convenience store, like, ding ding, right? Because it senses you walking by. If you get one of those, stab it up against a location spot where spirits would walk through. If that goes off and no one's around there, that something went through there.
Well, no, I thought too. Isaac had this idea of he saw on what was it?
TikTok. It's
like TikTok. This motion camera that follows you. It's essentially supposed to follow you like when you move.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's essentially a phone stand that follows you while you you talk and stuff like that. So I had the idea like, hey, what if you set that up to do that and it automatically follows something that you can't see?
Could you imagine you guys being on a live and then we just leave you there. We just leave you at the beginning of the trail or whatever and it starts moving. I can see people in the comments being like, wait.
I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see nothing.
Yeah. So one other thing that I definitely want to talk about, because I thought this was a little bit wild, was apparently not just normal, like everyday people participated in seances during the olden times. Like it was high profile people, even people at the White House. So apparently there is a room, and this is on the White House website, by the way. But there was a room called the Red Room. And I cannot get that song out of my head because I keep going, in the red room with white candles, they seanced.
Is that the real lyrics?
With Abe Lincoln and Mary Lincoln contacting their son.
Mary Todd.
Yeah. It's like stuck in my head every time I hear it and I say the anyways. Okay, out of that.
Weirdo.
Yeah. Anyways, but apparently there was a room called the Red Room and seances would happen. And she used it as a way, because Abe Lincoln was in there, and it was used as a way to deal with grief, I guess. Because she would contact her son, which apparently her son did come through. And he died of an illness, I believe. But there was another president's wife that also used it prior, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name. It was one of those presidents that it's not like the typical ones that you remember. But so a lot of seancing happened. And apparently I think that's why it was so big during those times, is because of all of the death, all of the illness, all of the wars. It was a way for people to try and contact their loved ones, because I feel like a lot of the deaths too were sudden. And obviously, it's not like today where you can call somebody up and you can FaceTime and you can do that. Some families disbanded and didn't see each other for a long time. And then you find out the other one's dead. And the only way they could kind of contact was through seances. And I feel like people, a lot of those times, there was a lot of grief and a lot of people dying. And I feel like a lot of people needed something out of the ordinary to kind of cling on to, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my opinion with seances, but it apparently took place at the White House. So makes you wonder. And no wonder why that place could be haunted. I mean, other than the obvious facts, but seances. So I just find it weird. Like,
you'd be surprised who, you know, was doing seances back in the day. Probably upper class, one percenters, you know, actors, stage of the stage and screen, right? Famous people.
And that's
even probably Charlie Chaplin, I think, was part of one.
Really?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why so many mediums got involved. It's kind of like, I mean, like, look at how many tarot readers are making tons of money from just reading. Well, not a lot of them are making money, but are getting well known from TikTok.
There was even a, and I remember, there's a seance scene in Peaky Blinders.
Really?
Yeah. What was it?
I haven't watched that one.
Polly, she wants to get in touch with her daughter who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's why it echoes throughout, like, even time periods. Like, not just the Victorian. I mean, you see even paranormal investigators use it as a way to kind of contact spirits beforehand. I mean, I've seen it on a lot of, we haven't done it, but I've seen it.
It's like you don't need to.
Yeah, for us,
I mean, you.
I have like a permanent freaking landline to the other side. I can't. I wish I could cut the cord, but it just does not work sometimes. So I have people that call my phone to talk to me. So
you got a busy line consistently. Yeah.
Hello, thanks for calling Megan on the other side. How can I help you? You're stuck here? But yeah, and like I said, there wasn't very many negative seance stories, I should say. There was some people talking about, like, they did have negative experiences in terms, but it was very, very few. It's not like Ouija boards where you have a good mix of people that are...
Yeah, there's no seance demon.
Yeah. There's a Ouija board demon, though. Yeah. But like I said, I don't know if it's because of the intention of the protection. Like, you think of, even being in a circle, it's almost like a ring of protection, you know?
Something I want to do. And I think if your skill of Faraday boxing us, we could be a fly on the wall and no one would know we're there. No one spiritually would know we're there. And have someone fucking bait Zozo in during Ouija board sessions. I can get his ass.
Damn.
If you could Faraday box us, that'd be pretty cool. By the way, a little side thing. Megan's gift is what I call Faraday box. If you know what a Faraday box is, essentially a device that's meant to block out all radio signals and all electronic signals altogether. So when I tell Megan that she Faraday boxes, she essentially puts us in a psychic bubble that we are technically invisible to all spiritual entities. And they can't find us. They can't see us. We basically, if you were on the spiritual realm as a psychic medium, you're looking around, all you would see is a blank space.
Mm-hmm. And I think other high up psychic mediums do that too. Like, I really think that one guy that we talked about that did really good with remote viewing.
Oh, Joe McGonagall.
Yeah, I think he has something that reroutes you to a friggin' lab. Because
it's like a hacker, right? Like, yeah. He reroutes you to another place.
Yeah, like you just like a firewall system.
There you
like
go.
Where it's like, nope, sorry, we're gonna put you in the lab.
Well, I don't want no one. I just want to be invisible for a period of time, and then when someone gets a Zio, jump out of nowhere, and he goes, you know,
yeah,
just get a shit out of the fucking.
Yeah, weird. But yeah, so that is essentially what I learned about seances, and like I said before, all different tools were used, depending on what. With the situation, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a good portion of haunted dolls are from seances. I kind of would like to ask that. I kind of want a haunted doll just gonna be like, hey, did somebody put you
in
that?
Think about haunted dolls that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
They're all from like a long time ago. There's a rare amounts that are from like within the last, I don't know, 40 years.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when you think about it, a lot of the spirits that have been attached to haunted dolls have been Victorian era doll or people. So that makes me think, it makes sense. I mean, you can bind somebody. So you have them come through and then you bind them to that doll.
Yeah. Creating a haunted object.
And then you have conversation and you bring that doll in and it's like a direct, like almost like capturing your genie in a lamp, as bad as that sounds.
That's why I come to find a lot of dark entities attach themselves to dolls just because people used to do it with regular spirits, and then they can trick the person into taking them home, making the person thinking, oh, this is a normal spirit attached to this doll, and really it's a dark entity who's looking for a chance to attack you. It's a good Trojan horse.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah. I mean, and most people think, you know, give demonic things and even spirits like a small mind when they're smarter than you would think, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah. That's pretty much it for seances. And like I said, if you want to know more about the Roth House, definitely check out the stuff with Total Conundrum. I know that they said they were going to do a bigger kind of episode diving into everything. But I believe like their walkthrough and then like some certain investigations. I know they have an EVP up there that they caught. And then some of the lives that they did while they were there is on their Instagram. And I would recommend checking it out.
Yeah.
Because they're cool people. And I thought it was really cool that they allowed us to do that. The remote viewing and then the poll, which was cool.
What's coming up next?
So, what is coming up next is we are diving into a spot in California called Mount Shasta.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is pretty wild. It's similar to, I feel like it's not necessarily like weird demonic stuff. It's more so like positive vortex with like possible extraterrestrial stuff and more so of like just different things, but not necessarily
there's
dark.
Like 100 conspiracy theories surrounding
Mount Shasta. Yeah, there's a lot, but I don't really think it's like I don't think there's any demonic thing.
No, but really there's like some about giants and then alien stuff.
Bigfoot.
There's like, like I said, everything, anything you can think has happened there.
Yeah. Kind of like Bridgewater Triangle minus like the demonic stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of cool stories, a lot of intense stories coming from there. But so I thought that would be a fun one to talk about since we like talking about those. So
look forward to that episode. And then also look forward to our bonus episode with Stephen and Lizzie Shaw, authors of their alien book, who they are and what are they up to. Right? I said that right?
Yes.
I think so. Regardless, you're going to find out when he comes out.
Yeah. And I'll put the actual title in the description and link and all that.
And then Mount Shasta, and then more bonus episodes to come out the rest of this month and beginning of May.
Yeah.
So look forward to all those and more. I know we've been on way for a while, but we're now going to bombard you with more episodes. So and I always have a bonus episode to spit out just in case we didn't get to a regular episode because, you know, everyone and their dog needs our help.
You know what I feel like it is? I feel like we rev back, right? We're getting pulled back like a rubber band, right? And then they release us when we have the time. We release the episodes and it's like, ka-chow, 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 ka-chow. Like we fire off, bam, bam, all of these episodes.
Rubber bands only snap once.
Yeah.
You're talking about a gun.
Am I? But what about if it's a rubber band gun?
Still, you only fire it once.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You only fire
it
once.
For pulling it back again. Crossbow. Really? No? All right.
I don't know.
You don't know weapons.
Hey, when we come, when we have a little bit of a hiatus and we come back, I feel like a sugar rush from this.
All right. Well, the episode's here today. You can catch our socials at Hidden in the Shadows Podcast on Instagram, Hidden in the Shaw 6 on X, Hidden in the Shadows Podcast 2 on TikTok. Our links to all our social media, always you can listen to us at HiddenInTheShadowsPodcast.com. What the hell are you doing?
Nothing. Just my normal face.
All right. As always.
So you could have kept going and no one would have.
I'm trying to close this.
Okay.
Also, you can check out our paranormal page, Hidden in the Shadows Paranormal. In case you need any help with any spiritual or us removing stuff, no case too big, no case too small. I feel like, what's his face, Ryder from Paw Patrol. Every time I say that, no pup too big, no pup too small, whatever. I don't know.
All the parents are like, we know.
Yeah, because Killian. Yeah, anyway. but yeah, so if you have anything paranormal going on, we can help you with it, even if help you out with it, or you just need advice on things that we have experience with. So, but as always, catch your weirdos in the next one.
Yes.